Would you bow your heads with me for a moment of prayer? Lord, may these moments of meditation ahead of us be inspired by you, just saturated by your Holy Spirit, based completely upon your word and revelation of yourself, and have the power to literally change our hearts, our minds, our lives, our destiny, our mission, our focus, and our future. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to do this even when we are often reluctant. Lord, turn our reluctance into eagerness. This has got to be a divine work. May you do it in us. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Hey, you like those before and after illustrations? Like, you know, you see it in a magazine, perhaps, or you see it, you know, the advertising that you always have online between things that you want to be checking up on. Like the hair restorer, you see, you know, the person with no hair, you know, the bald head, and then the next picture after, and it's just lush. I mean, you have to use a lawnmower in order to cut the hair. You see, you know, the wrinkle cream, the before and the after, you know, or the makeup, you know, and where someone, you know, suddenly becomes looking so young and devastatingly beautiful, the before and the after. Or you see the picture before, and that is the house looks all run down and everything is terrible. But after the redecorating, after the remodeling, there it is, you know, a prize-winning dwelling that suddenly has doubled its real estate value. You know, the before and the after. Did you know that the Bible has a lot of those pictures in it, before and after? Men and women whose lives were forever changed by Jesus Christ. People who responded to the call of God. And last week, Pastor Dreyer talked about the call of Moses. That was absolutely a life-changing thing. Here was a man who was a fugitive from justice, spent 40 years working for his father-in-law. Can you imagine that? And just keeping, you know, hanging out with these smelly sheep. But his life was changed. As a matter of fact, it changed even salvation history and brought about blessings that we enjoy today. Today, the goal of the message is that we would all get a firmer grip on what is our mission and our call in life that comes from God, who created us and sent his Son into the world to redeem us from our sins and from the death and hell and the devil. Okay, and he's got something in mind for us. So may that touch our personal lives. There are some notes in the bulletin for you if you want to fill in a few blanks. And the first place you can fill in a blank is, what are you willing to assess? Are you willing to assess where you're at and where God may be intending to take you? Because oftentimes there's a disconnect between those two things. And you have to ask the question, what did God have in mind way back before time began and I was in his mind to begin with? What did he have in mind for me? Why did he create me the way he did, place me where he has placed me in life? You know, and that's not something that's for our own, you know, what do we want to do in life, but what does he want to have done in our lives? Now, in the background of that, we move forward to about 2,000 years ago, and Jesus was out recruiting disciples. And I think he could have saved a lot of time if he had just gone to ZipRecruiter.com, but where did he go? He went to the seaside, and there, on the shore of the sea, there was Simon, who became Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, and his brother John. Those four. He went to the Jordan River where John was baptizing, and there were some disciples of John. And when they heard John say that he must increase, pointing to Jesus, calling him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, while I decrease, some of them left John to follow the greater one, to follow Jesus. Well, where did Jesus go after that? Well, to the places where people were hanging out. Like, he stopped at a tax collector booth Now, who would ever think of finding a lifelong disciple of Jesus, someone who was keeping books, to someone who would write a book named the Gospel of Matthew? And then let's imagine that he went to the coffee house where all the political radicals were hanging out and debating all these political issues of their day. And then he picked one. His name was, he was Simon the Zealot, who was a political radical, and enlisted him as a disciple. Something even more outrageous, and that is a guy by the name of Saul, the Lord Jesus, and this is after his ascension. He's still active. Did you know that? After the ascension of Jesus, he's still active in his earth among his people. Well, he selected a guy by the name of Saul who was playing for the opposing team and already had laid waste to so many of the team members of Jesus. Well, he picked him, who later became known as Paul. So last week, of course, Pastor Dreyer talked about the call of Moses, which changed not only someone's life, but changed history as well. You got the before and the after, from fishermen who are now catching people. The focus on the fish changed to a mind for the mission, from focus on fish to mind on the mission. And may the Lord draw us today into that kind of an understanding. But we have to ask, where do people typically focus their lives? Where are they focused? You can fill in the blank. The word is focused. And in a sense, they're focused on the fish. Focused on the fish. You see, these disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John, their daddy was commercial fisherman. Their grandfather was a commercial fisherman. They were commercial fishermen. They had everything, you know, the business was going. Their children would be commercial fishermen. That's what they thought. But God had something more in mind, just as he did for Moses, just as he did for Saul. But where are people focused? They're primarily focused upon the fish, shall we say. And some people even try to get involved in a big cause, but oftentimes apart from Christ. They're going to save the world, they're going to save the planet, they're going to save all the living creatures and so forth. But put all their times, talents, energies into that. And then there are people, on the other hand, apart from Jesus, who are just looking for the easiest way through and no particular cause. Well, do you have a cause in mind? Is there a passion that is driving you in life? Have you identified that? Do you have in mind, this is the most important question, for your life, what God has in mind for your life? That's the challenge today. This is where I want to be messing with our minds a bit. Okay. Now, we're talking about, to get a hold of that, we've got to talk about what the Bible tells us about the sin nature that we all inherited, every one of us. You see, it is just largely a preoccupation with self. If you take your hand and squeeze your fingers down into your palm, can you do that? Okay? This would be a sign, a visible sign of what sin is. And that is, well, in the Latin, a theological term, it's called curvatus in se, which means curved inward into one's self. That is the essence of sin. That is what lies behind breaking all 10 of the commandments of God. That's the human nature. Now, what does it look like? Well, like, I like to call the shots. I like to make everything into a competition because I've got to win. Or manipulating to get my own way, seeking to control the behavior of other people. Have you ever been told, hey, you're kind of a control freak? Probably right. Yeah. That's part of our sin nature. Knowing how to mask your selfishness and use charm and flattery to manipulate and to sell people on something. Or how about manipulating or positioning to always be at the center of attention? Or able to tailor the conversation so that it's always about you? And then you know how to give that body language and those facial expressions that say, I'm kind of bored with what you're saying. That's all very self-focused, but there's another side to that coin too. And that is low self-esteem. That's all part of that turned inward on oneself. self-deprecation, undervaluing yourself, putting yourself down. You just cannot, you dare not ever appear to be conceited, and you'll even have to lie a little bit so that you don't look conceited. And that is, all these things are also ways that our sin nature turned inward toward self, self-focus. And it is not really humility with these, it's actually characteristics that flow from the sin nature. Now, let's look at Paul's before and his after. He experienced a major change of focus and mission. Originally, this is how he saw his purpose in life, and that is to get on good side, the good side of God, by keeping the law. He knew all 613 of the laws. He had them all memorized. Probably had all the whole five books of Moses memorized word for word for word for word. He could quote the great rabbis of the time. He could win every argument. He had the most logical reasoning. He had a great education. He had all the degrees. He was a Pharisee. He was also descended from a distinguished line of people before him. But this chief persecutor of the church, and a persecutor of the church is a persecutor personally of Christ, he became the chief proclaimer of Jesus Christ. Once he had an obsession, but it never gave him peace. He was trying to get on the good side of God. It just didn't work. You cannot do it apart from Jesus Christ. Until then, literally, on the road to Damascus, that bright light came and he went blind. That's when he began to see. And now his life changes. He is assigned a different mission. Let's go back to Acts 22, the first reading of today. And this is the words of Ananias, who was sent to talk to Saul. He said, "The God of our fathers appointed you." "What? I'm appointed by God?" "Yeah." "To know his will." "Okay." "To see the righteous one." Who's the righteous one? That's Jesus. "To hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise. Be baptized. Wash away your sin, calling on his name." And I would venture to say everyone who has been baptized in his name has a calling from God. No exceptions. You're not the exception, okay? Paul was a different man from then on. His focus and his mission got realigned to line up with what God had in mind, and that is to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when we recognize that and become those disciples, our purpose and our focus in life change. Now, Paul and all the 12 disciples, they didn't take up a mission, but can fill in the blank, they were taken up by a mission. You know, we don't embrace it, it embraces us. So they did not take up a cause. The disciple is taken up into the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, by that, I don't mean you better go home right now, sell your house, or quit your job, move to Africa, empty out your bank account and your retirement fund, give it all to the poor, enroll in a seminary. But here's the question. If God asked you to do it, would you do it? Would you do it? How much time do you need to get an answer to that? Okay, maybe we've begun to recognize a little bit of our reluctance. But you know what? God is willing to start with us right where we are. He makes the unwilling to be willing. The first thing that begins to happen is that the lights go on. They went on pretty dramatically for Saul on the road to Damascus, but he turns the lights on so we can see more clearly. He changes the focus so we can see the cross before us and the world behind us. And it changes our desires, our passions, our preoccupations away from that, okay, that self-focus turned inward toward self, to that outward focus, a new focus toward Jesus. And then he begins to occupy more and more of our thoughts. He becomes the reference point for every single thing, no exceptions, in our lives. We begin to see ourselves in a new light. We discover, or maybe rediscover, because we've neglected it for too long, that God has a mission for us. And that may be connected in some way, areas of service. First of all, right within our own home, within our families, within the close, among those closest to us, and the ones who are very close to us, the family of God, His church, and then beginning to have a platform in which we can influence the world. That's what he has in mind. Well, that happened for Paul. God used the platform that he was able to set up, and the wonderful discovery that was the Holy Spirit all along had been nudging and urging and trying to get our attention and saying, hey, I'm here for you. I can empower you. You can do what God calls you to do. And to realize that he was much more available, much more powerful than we had ever thought. So let's look at, again, at some of the words that we had read to us earlier on. We'll go to Colossians chapter 1, which was the second reading for today. And it goes this way. Him, that is Christ, we proclaim. And by the way, this is Paul speaking. Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. All wisdom. That we may present everyone right where they were before. No, mature. Mature. That which is mature is that which has come to the fulfillment of what it was intended to be. Maturity in Christ. And he says, for this I toil, struggling with all the energy, his energy that he powerfully works in me. Who is the supplier of the energy? How much of that is he using to fulfill the mission? Because he's got a brand new focus. You see his focus here? Do you see his mission? Do you see his empowerment? And it goes even deeper as we go into the next scripture from Philippians chapter 3. Again, the previous context of this, he's been, what all his bragging rights used to be. That's the before. Here is the after. Indeed, he says in Philippians 3, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. Here's the center point. It's all about Christ. It's what he has done. It's not my works, not my righteousness, not my attainment, but it's him. It's him through faith in Christ. The righteousness that's from God that depends not on works, but simply on faith, just a trust. That I may know him, not just about him, but know him personally, and the power of his resurrection, that I may become a sharer in his sufferings and becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. You don't rise until you die. that not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but here, one thing I do. Get his obsession here. Forgetting what lies behind. All the failures, all the fads, all the fashions replaced by faith, okay? Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward into the future toward the goal of the prize, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Change of focus, change of mission because he is a disciple. A profound, profound change. Now, how's that working in your life? Started with the idea of assessing. And how can God use you? Okay? You see some more blanks. There's an F and an A and a T. What words would you fit in there? The F is faithful. A is available. T is teachable. Three characteristics of those whose life, their focus, their vision lines up with that of God. And by the way, in that F-A-T, even skinny people can apply. All right. The faithful, F, okay. Can God count on you? How do you answer that question? Yeah. Just for fun, would you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5? 1 is, are you kidding? No way. I got my own life. I'm going to live it. And by, you know, I'm just not at that point in life. I'm either too young, I'm too middle-aged, or I'm too old. Yeah. Okay. We all got our excuses, right? Okay. Faithful. Okay. The 5 is, okay, I'm ready regardless. I mean, you don't even have to tell me what it is. I'll do it. That would be a 5. Okay. Which end of the scale does God use to build a church, to make it a great church? Okay, it's a rhetorical question. All right. Well, the A, available. Yeah, that's the greatest ability that God is looking for, availability. He doesn't need more plumbers, or he doesn't need more engineers. He doesn't need more dentists. He doesn't need more technicians, more teachers. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for you. Availability. Yeah. Would a church be a good place to look for followers of Jesus? Let's hope so. Are you willing to trash your schedule and your agenda for his? Now, I'm not talking about being irresponsible in the daily pursuits and demands of life, but being responsive to God's legitimate claim on you. Yeah, what percentage of you does God have a legitimate claim on? How much of you did he create? How much of you did the blood of Jesus Christ redeem so that you may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, as Martin Luther said? So, if you are available, you can be used. People that are available, people that are faithful, can build the great church, because, you see, they allow God to do it. The T, that's for teachable. Hey, did Jesus pick 12 who already knew it all? They didn't know anything. No. He had to teach them right from square one. So we don't know it all. We're not the experts. If we are teachable, God's going to be teaching us. But you got to show up for class, okay? Are you willing to do that? How do you show up for class? Well, it's going to be class after church down, you know, underneath here. But it's an everyday kind of a pursuit as the Holy Spirit wants to be teaching us. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, or he didn't say, teaching them all that I have commanded you. You know what he said? Teaching them to observe, to obey all that I've commanded you. So it's the teaching of an attitude in life. So it's up to us then to put ourselves available so that the Holy Spirit can give us the skills and the arts that enable us to be better, more effective servants and witnesses of Christ. If you are teachable, you can be used. Faithful, available, teachable. What's the limit? What could God do? What could God do? We've got a whole bunch of people here today. What could God do? What does he want to do? All right? It really requires the development of our focus and our sense of mission. God saved us, brought us into a relationship with him so that we could live out the ultimate purpose of our lives. He's got a plan that is ready for every single one, shovel ready for every one of us. He has created every one of us quite intentionally, and he wants every one of us to be part of what he is up to in his world. Okay? God is waiting. How long does he have to wait for you? I'll leave that question for the conclusion. And may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.